Thank you, Chairman. We are now moving on to the Q&A session, and the first question comes from Elchin Mammadov from Bloomberg and Meike Becker from Bernstein. Power prices in Iberia have dropped sharply. How will this impact Iberdrola? What is your hedging profile for 2020 and 2021 in terms of prices locked and in volumes pre-sold?
Paco, do you mind to reply to this question?
Yes. Well, it will affect in no way, and this is because we have 100% of 2020 expected production and 70% of 2021 expected production already locked at the similar prices that we sold last year.
Second question comes from Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and Meike Becker. Sorry. Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and Meike Becker from Bernstein. It's about Spain renewables energies. Outlook for the auctions. Methodology expected. Do we prefer auctions or PPA system?
Well, I think it's not question what we prefer. I think the energy policy is set by the government, and the government will decide what is the policy they would like to apply. Saying that, I feel in this moment there are huge demand in the country. There are very many people ready to invest in the sector, so I think it's, in my opinion, it's not much sense then the country takes any kind of commitment with for things which the market can already provide for that one. I repeat, that is a decision we have to be taken according with the policy that the government would like to set on this particular thing.
Next question is related to the competitive landscape in the supply U.K. and the strategy to be followed by Iberdrola there in that market, and it's coming from Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada.
It's not a secret that 2019 was already tough year in United Kingdom. My feeling is that the situation is not very much sustainable, and I think in some time, I think the things have to change. I think it's there are certain demands in this moment toward the tariff cap made by some of our competitors, which are willing to reflect the cost, real cost of the sector. In any case, as I've already said very many times, we that is a very small proportion of our diversified business mix. I think it's I don't know, but probably it's less than 1% of our total group EBITDA. Which I think if it's coming, it's going well, that's fine. If it's not going so well, I think it's not representing much in our total business in our results.
Question number four comes from Javier Garrido, JPMorgan, Alejandro Vigil, Cygnus Asset Management, and Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and it's related to Avangrid. And the results and 2020 guidance given recently. Growth below expectation, key factors, measure taking. When are we expecting things to change in Avangrid in this moment?
Well, I think the fourth quarter, the business has been affected, especially in New York, by minor storms, which I think that is reflected in our accounts. I think that precisely what I was commenting in my speech, that in this moment we are already just reaching agreement, not for Maine, it's already reached, and probably in the next few weeks it will be as well reaching agreement for New York and Rochester. Not only in terms of remuneration, the return on equity, which we will have on those regulated activity, but also how we can already minimize the volatility that is affecting to those business affected mostly by this storm. Also, probably, I think in both cases, the investment already lower is going to increase heavily, which I think will help as well to improve the service and minimize as well this volatility.
Next question comes from Harry Wyburd, Bank of America, and Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and is related to Vineyard Wind, the situation of the permitting process, and the potential impact of the delay in this permitting process.
Well, as I already commented several times, we've been the pioneers in this thing in United States. So I think last year we awarded another project. I think we are in this moment in the process of making together both projects, one from Massachusetts, one from Connecticut. There are good news on that one. I think there is a delay. I think BOEM has already fixed a calendar for which will affect a certain delay to our commercial operation date. But in addition, it has already been extended, the ATCs, at 18% of the investment up to 2024, which implies that the project will mostly likely qualify for this fiscal incentive, both projects as well. And also, I think we will probably allow us to reach certain economy for scale and certain use of improved technologies we can already as a whole providing an even better return than that was expected at the beginning. So, and I think that now we have a time, a date for the approvals, and in the meantime we are working in the joint project of this project of 800 and 804 megawatts, one for Massachusetts, one for Connecticut, using all the economies of scale we that can already give us, and benefiting of this extension of the ATCs program of this 80% up to 2024.
Question number six comes from Isidoro del Alamo, BBVA, Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, and finally Harry Wyburd, Bank of America. Would you rule out large inorganic investment now that the global capex opportunity for renewable looks set to expand significantly? And concretely, M&A in the USA, if we can explain something about that.
Well, I think there have already been too many news about this for a long time. I have to say that they are talking in particular with PPL, which has been already mentioned for several times to in many social medias. There are no any kind of agreement, and there are not already any potential agreement or whatever thing negotiated at present. So I think deny absolutely there are any deal in negotiation in this moment with this particular company. Our ambition is to deliver this 10 billion investment, then we have already organic investment we have in plan in this particular moment, and we are focused absolutely in this particular thing.
Martin John from Investec is interested in knowing if our guidance for 2020 is based on the net profit of 2019 of 3.4 billion, or does one need to adjust for the one-off recorded in 2019?
So, I don't understand the guidance for 2020
is the 3.4 plus. Single digit, or we have
in 3.4. We are commenting the plan 2019 base up to 2022. Yes.
Crystal as clear as crystal. Number eight. What is the incremental capex included in the new 10 billion target to be focused? Is the question is coming from Ron Poulain, Morgan Stanley, and Harry Wyburd, Bank of America.
For this year, I think similar to what we have already had in the mix during 2019, I think roughly 40-45% is already going to be dedicated to renewables, something 35-40 dedicated to networks, and the rest to power generation and supply. So similar mix.
Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs is interested in the 2022 guidance given in the page 40. If we can give some details about the power price assumption that we have been used.
Well, Paco has already mentioned, and the prices, he mentioned that before, so I don't know nothing to add on this one. I think the prices are all in this moment sold. I think it's no assumption, it's a reality, what we have already in this particular moment, and Paco has already mentioned this thing before. So I think it's not the expectation, it's already signed, in this moment it's fixed.
Next question comes from Isidoro del Alamo, BBVA. And if can you give us an update on how much wind, solar, net capacity you believe you can build per year from now on?
Well, I think that give me something to be explained on the Investor Day. So I think don't ask to me now to tell you what we are already working in this particular moment. I'm already disclosing to you what we did last year, 5.5 thousand megawatts, which is five times more than the average we make already in the previous years. This year we are going to make something between four and five. In this moment, I mentioned there are 9,000 megawatts in construction, will be already completed during this year and next year. And I think in the expectation for the following years, give me the chance to set that on the Investor Day. But as you can imagine, if we are accelerating, we are already at five. If we are accelerating, you put whatever number you like on this one, on the acceleration. But that give me to me the opportunity to explain this thing on the Investor Day.
Next question comes from Javier Suarez and is related to the case of the company called Zenit in Spain. You can explain something.
So, Iberdrola, we have already very strong corporate governance, as I already mentioned before, and very strong compliance policies. What I can say is that all these policies are working properly, and of course, we are cooperating with the justice, and we will continue to do so because we have nothing to hide. We continue to defend this company from any misleading information with any full transparency. And as soon as the news appeared, we had to already carry out the internal investigation. Then we are fully completed with the participation with independent third parties. Nothing has been found in the company's behavior that can be considered not conform to the law. And I think that can already say to you very strongly.
Martin John from Investec is asking about the impact of possible impact in our renewables built program from the current coronavirus situation.
So, the first thing I would like to say that we are fully collaborating with authorities in all the market. And we will try to do whatever protect our workforce. Fortunately, in the countries which are more affected, we have little business or no business. But I think internally, we have already organized a certain kind of protocol for this sort of protection. And in some cases, I think on the day-to-day business, we feel is not affected at all. With regards to the ongoing investment for the future one, in few cases, some of suppliers has sent us a notice that they are already evaluating the situation. And if there are anything, we are in contact with them. If there are anything which is affecting to the supply chain of our vendors, we will be informed. But in the day-to-day business, is not at all affected. And we already established certain protocol for protecting our workforce and collaborating, of course, with authorities for whatever thing they will need on this respect.
Question 14. It comes from Ron Poulain, Morgan Stanley. Where does management see the best risk-adjusted return for new CapEx across the Iberdrola portfolio of businesses and regional opportunities, or is it in the new areas? The best returns in new areas or in the traditional one?
I think for us all the areas are traditional. So I think we are not new in renewables, we are not new in networks, we are not new in retail or power generation. I think all the areas are absolutely traditional for ourselves. It's certain that certain areas that we've been already investing in the last few years, especially in networks, are already given already certain growth or important growth, which is the case of Brazil, or is the case of the United States, which I think with the new rate cases, or the case, as I mentioned, Britain. But I think in renewables, I think the things are going well. I think we have already track record, and we are already, as I mentioned before, leaders in wind, and we've been already first mover in this sector for the last 20 years. And now we have this opportunity with a pipeline of more than 40,000 megawatt in pipeline and 9,000 megawatt in construction. But I think in retail and power generation, we have something in retail, we think, or correct to me, Paco, I think 16 million customers in this particular moment, and I think we continue continue growing in this one. And in power generation, we put already last year in service 2.5 gigawatts in, as well in Mexico. So, which I think all the areas are already providing already growth. But let me as well give the details on the 13th of May, segment by segment, what is the growth areas. But I think all the areas are traditional for ourselves. In certain of them, we've been already first movers, which is the case of the renewables or in the, our investment in networks. In another case, we are traditional and we continue defending this traditional business as we were already in the past.
From Harry Wyburd to Bank of America, is there any reason why you have been so active on disposal? You were aiming for 3.5 billion 2018-2022 and have already delivered 4.6 billion 2018 to the first quarter of 2020. Is there a use of proceeds that you have in mind for the excess of disposals?
Well, I think when somebody is ready to pay a good price for some asset, I think we are not in love with this asset. I think we are ready to transfer this asset to somebody else which is ready to pay a good amount for it. So that is what we did in most of the cases. But the second thing is that we are already accelerating our program of investment. I think this year we are going to invest 10 billion. The average investment in the previous year was in the range of 5 to 6 billion. I think we are more than doubling. And I think we would like to keep our financial solidity. For keeping our financial solidity, we need resources. And I think if somebody is ready to pay for certain of the assets, a price with the case of certain of those one, which we feel is really good for the shareholders, we are ready to divest that one for concentrating and making another one and to use the resources for expansion in other areas where we feel that we create more value in the future.
Moving to the question 16, after selling your LNG contract, what is going to be our gas procurement policy for the future? And it's coming from Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada.
Well, fortunately, then we took the decision to sell this gas in a moment with a capital gain. Probably we postponed this decision to be taken today. The situation will be not only not positive result, but very negative result. So in this moment, the gas market is very liquid, and I think we have not any difficulties in already covering our demand in the day-to-day basis, on the medium and long and whatever thing, because it's plenty of gas. We have already most gas that the whatever the world is able to consume at present. So I think we took a very right decision when we sold last year all our contract, long-term contract of gas, because I think it was let's say the last wagon in the last train for making so. So I think in this moment we can already cover our demand in a very good condition without being forced to have any kind of liability or obligation to take this gas from third parties.
Next question comes from Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, and is related to what are the expected timings of the regulatory review in the UK? Number 18.
Well, as far as I know, transmission, RIIO-T2 is now in negotiation. That will start applying in 2021, by the middle of 2021. I don't know if April, May, middle of 2021. First half of next year, and distribution is in 2023, is 2 years later. So now we are already, what we have already presented, as I mentioned, is the plans of investment for transmission and the project we have to be made, and we've been already recognized as the best and better elaborated plans for that one from this independent team who has been appointed by Ofgem, by the regulator. In the case of distribution, the things is it takes longer, still is 2 years ahead, or almost 3 years ahead, and I think the negotiation is still just in the initial steps.
Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, is asking about the impact of the ongoing low interest rate scenario in the new rate cases in the US, distribution and transmission.
Well, I think we just agreed the rate case for Maine, for the which at 9.25% return on equity. In New York, we are on the last steps of reaching an agreement. We feel, I think, recently has been approved the rate case of our colleagues of Conet, which I think is close to 9% return on equity. We feel that we will be already in a line, will be not much different on that one. I think in both cases, I think a common point is that the investment, which will be allowed, will be have to increase for already keeping and maintaining and improving the service and the quality and digitalizing the grid. But I think those things, New York, Maine is done, and New York, I expect in the next few weeks, I think that we can already as well close and reach an agreement for the next few years.
Javier Suarez from Mediobanca asks about the net debt EBITDA target of the company. Don't know if for 2020 or for in the long run.
Pepe. Well, we will comment the net debt EBITDA for the long run in the Investor Day. For 2020, we are expecting to improve this because what we are expecting is that the EBITDA will be able to grow more than the debt, as the asset rotation that the chairman has commented and the measures to improve working process and working capital will allow us, as I was saying, to improve the to grow the EBITDA at a higher rate than the debt. So the target is to improve the 3.7 times.
Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, asked about any possible change in the foreign dividend taxation in Spain, if this situation have had an impact on our accounts.
Well, first of all, I don't know. First, we have to see if that is already been approved. If it's not approved, we will see. You know, we have already our company, our headquarters are in the country Basque. We have already a special fiscal treatment and not already any information that what is going to be done already at the national level, nor at the Basque level. So I think it's, in any case, if that happens, should be not already an important amount for the company. But I think it's, we have to contemplate that we are, in terms of fiscal things, we are already Basque. What we have already a special, special fiscal laws in the in this particular area of the country, the fiscal autonomy.
And finally, last question comes from Alejandro Vigil, Cygnus Asset Management. Please allow us to switch and ask and answer it in Spanish. Iberdrola es un referente en asuntos de ESG entre los inversores. Y podría hacernos un resumen de la contribución
with investors, and could you give us a summary on the contribution in 2019?
Well, during my presentation, what I pointed out is that from the point of view of the shareholders, Iberdrola has obtained historic results because it's generated a value for the shareholders throughout all of this time. And practically last year, we had a total return of 37%. And I'm also extremely satisfied because the company last year also hired 3,500 people. And this year, we're going to be hiring another 5,000. And all of them are going to have stable jobs. And in our case, it's 98% of our people have and fixed contracts. And they are going to do quality jobs, and they all of them have more than 55 hours of training per person. And of course, they also have a system based on equality as regards remuneration between men and women. And this is an absolute must at the company. And then throughout the year, and I've also mentioned this before, we've reached out to more than 22,000 suppliers all over the world. Many of them are in Spain, and in particular, there are lots in the Basque Country with more than 20 billion euros covering all kinds of products and services. Something that makes me feel very proud, by the way, is that our CO2 emissions are at two-thirds below those of our Spanish and European colleagues, with only 110 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour, thanks to the efforts that we've made over the years to close down our coal-fired parts and plants. And we've also invested a lot in renewables, in wind power, in hydroelectric facilities all over the world. And there's another issue that is equally important, and this is what this company has done as regards paying tax. taxes in all countries? Because in our annual report, there are lots of details on this issue. But let's say, to give you some round figures, the fiscal contribution of all countries has totaled something like 14 billion euros, of which 3 billion have to do with those taxes that are charged to our financial statement. In other words, that shareholders have saved 5.2 billion euros. And these are the taxes that we've collected through our customers and employees. And this is VAT, or the withholdings we apply. And should the company not exist, of course, these taxes wouldn't be paid. But both one thing and the other, these are checks that are deposited in the coffers of different countries. And the rest of them are impacts produced by indirect taxes because of those activities that we have around us. So what it means, essentially, is that the social value of this company from a taxation point of view and its level of involvement in where it operates is tremendously important. And we also publish a report every year, and I would recommend that you read it because it's also in our annual memorandum. And, well, this is done by an external consultant, and it contains all of these parameters that has to do with our contribution towards society.
The floor to Mr.
Y ahora quiero ceder la palabra de nuevo al señor Galán para cerrar este evento.
Much for taking part in this conference call, and let me que the investor relation is ready to reply whatever additional question you may have, and I hope they see you already to be able to reply as much questions you would like on our 13 May Investor Day in London. Thank you very much, and see you soon. Thank you.